Hey guys, this is Ben P. Just in case you missed the first part, this is actually the second part of our 100th episode. We're going to be talking about our top five favorite TV shows here. So go back and listen to the first part of episode 100 if you want to hear our favorite films. And we're going to be starting this episode with Alan Treherne's top five favorite TV shows. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yourselves while I dish out the best TV on earth. Number five, The Good Guys. My current favorite show goes to the number five spot. What up, Jenny Wade? Number four, Newhart. Classic 80s sitcom about an innkeeper. Coming at it badass. Number three, Hercules, The Legendary Journey. Continuously letting me know that Greek mythology was cool. Number two, Arrested Development. Great three seasons, but please don't make a movie. And finally, number one, Seinfeld. If you don't get this show, you're a dumbass. And those are my thoughts on TV and movies. Time for me to go before I alienate more of your audience. So, congrats again, guys.
All right. Since he already gave his top five TV shows, why don't we get into ours? Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Ready.
Yes, sir. All right.
Awesome. Now, Mazer and I kind of, you know, talked about our favorites and stuff like that. And I have to say, mine's changed quite a bit.
Mine's changed,
since
too.
We've talked. So, movies kind of stayed the same, but TV shows just blew up into a whole different stratosphere.
That's what you guys get for insider trading.
Yeah, exactly. My number five is The Wonder Years.
Nice.
Boom.
Awesome.
Yes. I love The Wonder Years. How can you not like The Wonder Years? Such a great TV show.
It's interesting because it only lives in memory because we can't watch it on DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can't get the
it's
music
so true.
Clearance stuff.
They actually showed it on a TV station here in LA. I can't even remember what TV
station.
It was
a really strange, like ION, some really weird
ION.
Yeah,
TV
it was
station.
Some weird, obscure station that I never heard of before. Started rerunning it. I watched all the stations. They showed one episode a day until... They showed all the episodes, the whole series, and then they stopped, and I've never seen it back. And I'm like, crap.
This has got to be something that's going to be like, I haven't checked torrent sites in forever, but I'm pretty sure this has got to be something that's been circulated. Just because you can't get access to it, right?
Yeah.
There's some VHS tapes of it out. There's like a Best of the Wonder Years box set of VHS tapes that's actually on my Amazon wish list. Even though I don't have a VHS player, but yeah, that's a great show. I don't think anybody can argue with that one.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Do you think it would hold up now is the question, because I've never seen an episode of The Wonder Years in my life.
Oh, it would totally hold up.
It probably would.
It totally holds up.
It's like watching a period piece because it takes place in the 60s and it's just so solid. I mean, the writing, the music, everything is just incredible.
Well, see, they still show it here in Phoenix. I have it on a channel here, and I watch it every night. And, yeah, it still holds water, man. It's a great show.
Awesome. Maybe Netflix will get it eventually or something.
I don't know. Hopefully something happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to watch it
we
again.
We should start a Facebook campaign.
Yeah, that's true.
Those always do something. Those are always effective.
That's actually, like, it took forever for Freaks and Geeks to get out on DVD for the same reason, but
oh, okay.
It finally happened.
It right. Got Betty White on SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, my number five is Avatar, The Last Airbender, obviously
the animated series.
I was so disappointed with the movie, but this, it feels like it captures something really magical in it, in that, like, just the cool balance between humor and, like, magical powers and kind of, like, this adventure. And it just has, like, this very pure feel of adventure to it. And if you haven't seen it and you don't have a dislike for cartoons and animated things, definitely check it out.
Yeah, I kind of just haphazardly, they're playing like a marathon or something on TV, and I had the day off, and I just kind of started watching it that way, and it was hooked after like 3 episodes.
Yeah, it doesn't take very much.
Yeah, because I think they just tell a story really well, through the course of the series. But mine's kind of following the same animated, my number 5, the same animated theme. And mine is Nickelodeon's Doug. And I have to specify Nickelodeon because for anyone that's familiar with the show, Disney, I think, took it over, and I didn't really like those episodes as much. But I think for the first 4 seasons, it was on Nickelodeon. And, you know, as however old I was, like a 10-year-old kid watching the show, maybe even younger, I just identified so well with Doug.
Because you only owned green vest and khaki shorts, is that?
That, yeah, and red.
And you had an alter ego named Quail Man who wears underwear on the outside and a belt around his head.
For all of those reasons, but I don't know. He's just kind of like an ordinary dude. There's nothing incredibly special about him. He's not the most popular kid at school, but he's not a big nerd.
Yeah, he's well liked among everyone.
So I just, and you know, I think he's like 11 in the show, so that would put him at 4th or 5th grade, one of the two. And there aren't many shows that kind of take that perspective, that you're either like really, I guess, younger or older. It's just kind of a niche age group. And I don't know, I just really, you know, I really identify with Doug and his problems, and I thought...
I'm sorry.
It's just funny.
I'm laughing with you, not at you, because I love the show probably almost as much. I mean, it's not on my list, but I honestly love the show a lot. It's just funny to hear anybody say, oh, I identify with Doug and his problem. I don't know, it just struck me as funny for some reason. I apologize. That's highly inappropriate for me to laugh at you.
Well, probably not now.
Yeah, not now, obviously.
Right.
But just the way he handled himself, like, when I get kids, when they start watching cartoons, I'm going to show them this one instead
and
of, like,
be
whatever.
Like, be like Doug.
Yeah, whatever.
He handles himself well.
Whatever Pokemon crap. I'm sorry if anyone has Pokemon in their top 5. But.
And, like, the Patty Mayonnaise thing, you know, like, the kind of quest for this girl that spans years. Like, I feel like a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
So, and just kind of building people up on a pedestal and then eventually kind of realizing that you're better friends anyway and just the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, it deals with a lot of, like, really great kind of growing up.
They don't make kids shows like this.
No, not at all. I'm glad that we grew up with that as our kind of model, you know?
Yeah.
All right. You know, I've got kids and I've never even seen an episode of Doug, so.
It might have been after your time there, Venkman.
Well, all right.
All right. Well, for my number 5, this is, if any of you know what this is, I'll be very surprised, but this is a blast from the past for me. It was The Greatest American Hero.
Yes. Of course.
By far one of my favorite shows of all time. Just the whole concept of, you know, a lonely school teacher, aliens meet up with him, give him a super-powered suit and an instruction manual. He keeps the suit, loses the instruction manual, but is in charge of basically saving the world. So we have to figure out his superpowers as he goes along. It's cheesy, one of the best theme songs of any show, but I have the complete series and I watch it. It's fantastic.
Nice. Good choice.
Is it animated? Real fast, is it animated?
No, it's live action.
Oh, okay.
Which makes it even more
it's the cheese factor is out of control.
Okay.
It's an 80s television show, and, you know, precursor to Heroes, I guess you could say, but it's you're gonna have to get over some certain things, like the main character's name changes halfway through the series and then goes back.
What name?
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, because apparently in the middle of the series there was a killer, I think, in Cleveland that had the same name, and they didn't want the main didn't want the main character associated with that person, so they changed his name, but then fans complained, so they changed it back.
Wow.
So, yeah, awesome.
That's like, I mean, great TV trivia right there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So, I mean, I know not a lot of people are going to know what it is, but check it out. It's definitely a lot of fun.
Even if you've never seen it, you probably know the theme song.
It's called The Greatest American Hero, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool.
I'll let you borrow the DVDs when I'm out there.
Awesome.
Okay, my number five is actually, I've just revised my list. Ben reminded me of this one because he hates Betty White, and I'm going to have to go with Golden Girls because it's kind of like R.P. McMurphy's criteria for favorite movies, just you'll watch it anytime it's on. And Golden Girls, if I'm flipping through the channels and it's on, I'm watching it. It's a great, great show about just four sassy old broads and usually about their, like, quest to have sex. They are, like, the most promiscuous women ever on television, I think. And I kind of love that about them.
Yeah, I remember watching it whenever my grandma would come over and babysit for me.
No, I originally saw it, like, at my grandma's house on Saturday nights. My parents would drop us off there, and they'd go out and do their thing, and that's where I originally saw it. But it's so funny. It's really smart. The cast is fantastic. And it's really rare in our culture to see a show about four older women who are, like, vibrant and thriving and have interesting, fulfilling lives.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important still because of that.
Yeah.
I'll just clarify real quick. I don't hate Betty White. I hate what Betty White has become based on
what she represents.
The more annoying members of our generation turning her into, like, an ironic,
like,
hipster logo.
The rapping grandma.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. That sums it up perfectly. So, all right, I'll leave it at that.
All right, my favorite is like almost in line with the greatest American hero. It's the A-Team. I'm a child of the 80s. So, you know, I actually always used to watch Great American Hero. Is it Great American or Greatest American Hero?
Greatest,
thank you. Well, the A-Team is my choice. Just B.A. Baracus did it for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, but I guess I was too young to...
Yeah.
Or your dad had better taste in television.
Maybe.
Because I watched that, my dad would make us watch that all the time, and it was great. I loved it. I was so in love with Face.
Did the movie do it justice?
Yeah, I think
it was fun.
I think it did.
Okay,
I hope they make a sequel.
I really like the movie.
Yeah.
I just rewatched the movie, and it's so much fun. It's one of the most fun movies, I think, that I've, you know, the most fun I've had in a theater this year. How to Train Your Dragon I liked a lot, too. But yeah, I think I would love to see a sequel to the A-Team movie.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I hope they do it. Let's start a Facebook campaign.
There's another one.
So that's two Facebook campaigns
we're
starting. Great.
Nice.
Or joining. They probably already exist.
Yeah. My number five is South Park. Most of my TV shows are not, actually all of them, except for this one, are not ongoing. This is the only one that still is currently airing on TV. But I came to South Park really late in the game. I didn't get into it until college when a friend of mine, you know, bought all the DVD box sets and stuff. And I saw some of the early episodes from the very early seasons and was like, this is kind of stupid. It's just like... toilet humor, it's not really that great. And then later on, the entire identity of the show totally shifted into this kind of satire, like very hyper aware of what was going on, very kind of referential to pop culture and stuff, and I love it. Like, I think it's consistently probably the best comedy on TV. Community is getting up there for me, but it's still early on in Community's run, so I'm just a massive fan of South Park now. I'm a late converter, but I'm a big fan.
Nice. Well, let's move on to number four on our TV list. My number four is The X-Files.
All right.
Why
Yes, why?
How can it not be? It's the X-Files. What do you want me to say?
Worst justification ever.
Answer a question with a question.
Just like the X-Files.
The X-Files is just a classic sci-fi mystery TV show that just had some great storylines, and I always tuned in to watch it and never was really disappointed until the movie started coming out.
But I loved the shows. I never really got into the show, but I heard a lot of people were kind of disappointed with the later seasons and maybe how the show ended. Were you among that contingent?
No, I enjoyed it all the way through. I never really had a problem with it. I thought they did, you know, I know there were circumstances that they had to work around a few things, like when David Duchovny left the show for a bit. But I liked when Robert Patrick came in and, you know, kind of took his place, and they were able to keep the story going. I thought they did a fine job just working around what they, you know, working around what they had to work with. So, yeah, I was never really disappointed with it. I just, you know, they just continued the story on. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
My number four is a bit of a tie. It's the 1960s Batman and the Batman original animated series.
Okay.
It's for me, it just was my love of Batman, all of that. But it's because, I mean, the original Adam West series was so, like, out there and so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was just fun, and I think it was perfect for its time. And then the animated series, when I was growing up watching that, was the perfect tone again for that time. And it just, for me, just seeing the ability for a character to evolve, I mean, all the way till now, I mean, 10 or 20 years from now, the Dark Knight might look light compared to the even darker Batman that's going to exist many years from now. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's my number four.
Yeah, I kind of grew up with the, well, with kind of reruns, at least, of the 60s.
Yeah, that's
ones.
Why, like, I can't say, like,
yeah,
I grew, like, those, for me, I watched those at the same time.
Yeah, me so. Too, yeah. And, yeah, the original animated one kind of was, I guess, my first introduction to what Batman was. And I really enjoy that series as well.
Yeah, I loved Batman the Animated Series.
But, yeah, I guess sticking along those animated lines, and let me just preface this by saying I'm in no way, like, an anime, like, aficionado. Like, I don't know a lot about the culture that is anime. But this one that I'm going to name is an anime cartoon, and it's Samurai Champloo. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that correctly. I'm not sure. Have any of you guys heard of this show or seen it?
You've told me about it. I've never seen it.
Okay, well, that doesn't count.
Man, I have no idea what okay. you're talking about.
Well, this is kind of similar to Lord of the Rings. It takes place in, like, you know, I'm not sure what century. I want to say the 18th century Japan. And it's these three characters, two guys and a girl, and the two guys are experts at, you know, martial arts, and they're kind of the polar opposites of each other. They're like the odd couple in that sense. But they're on this quest, I'm not even going to say what they're on the quest for, because it's just going to sound really stupid. Well, I'll say it anyways, because I prefaced it. They're on the quest for the samurai who smells like sunflowers. And
right, that doesn't sound stupid at all.
Yeah. So, whether that sounds stupid or not, I would have to recommend you see it, because it's kind of like one of those epic journey tales. It's only 26 episodes, and that was the end of the run of the series. If you've ever seen Cowboy Bebop, it's the same creators behind that, just as kind of like a reference for you guys out there. But it, you know, it's kind of like one of those epic journey tales that has humor and action and surprisingly hip-hop mixed in. And it just all works really, really well. So that's my number four.
Awesome.
Have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
My number four is the same as Venkman's number five, which is The Wonder Years.
Okay.
Grew up watching the show. I still love it to this day. Like I said, I can find it on TV, and, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, where in the series it is. It's, the episodes to me are, you know, for the younger generation, you know, it deals with all those issues of, you know, girlfriends and, you know, getting picked on, dealing with siblings, that type of thing. But also for the older generation, it, you know, kind of brings you to that point where you didn't really enjoy your parents at the time, but now you realize, you know, how much they loved you by the things that they did. I don't know. It's kind of an emotional TV show for me. I just love it. It's a great show.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, to switch things up a little bit, my number four is The Wonder Years. And I have to agree with everything that's been said about it. It's like the perfect coming-of-age show. And I think it's really interesting. The first episode, I don't know how many of you guys remember it, but Kevin Arnold is still really just like a little kid, and things are happening to him, and he doesn't have a lot of control over his life. I don't know if you remember, he like gets in trouble. He can't take the apple like out of the cafeteria, and he throws it, and it's like the greatest moment ever on TV. But then as it progresses through the series and through the years, you see him grow up and start really like taking control of his life and making his own choices. And it's just a really fantastic, it's a period piece, but you know, it's universal. So yeah, Wonder Years, number four.
Yeah, and nice. Another thing about it is that it's one of the very few TV shows that I've ever watched that got an emotional response out of me.
Right.
The last episode, you have to watch the whole series to appreciate the last episode, but the last episode, something got in my eye.
Do you just,
or
like,
something.
Weep? Yeah. No, and it's really, really great from beginning to end. It really, like, sustains its quality as well, which is good in a show.
Well, my number four is Southland. It's a rather new show. It was actually, I thought it was canceled for a bit, and then by luck, it was canceled on one channel.
Yeah,
It got canceled and then picked up.
I should rephrase that. it was picked up, and I'll tell you what, I'm glad that it was, because it I don't know, the characters on that, it's one of my favorite procedural, drama, cop law type shows out that ever. I can't stand, I mean, I enjoy Law and Order, don't get me wrong, but this Southland's the best. So if you guys aren't watching that, you really should watch it.
Is it still on?
It's on TNT now, right?
I know it was on TNT, but I didn't know. I thought they did one season, and then I thought it got canceled. Did it not get canceled?
It's coming back
in
January.
It's starting again in January.
Oh, nice. All right.
January 3rd.
I don't have the exact date. Oh, January 3rd?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, I enjoyed Southland Tales.
Southland Tales, the Richard Kelly movie?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Holy smokes, that just went a totally off a weird direction.
Wow.
I was like, what?
Wait.
Don't bring movies into this now, Venkman. Leave them out of this.
I don't know. I don't know why I was thinking of Southland Tales, but you know what I mean. All right. Yes.
I know what you mean.
If there's a top 10, Southland would be on my top 10.
Cool.
Yeah.
My number four is the same as Mazer. It's Batman the Animated Series. I love this series. It definitely was my introduction to Batman, aside from the 1960s Batman movie with Adam West, which I watched as a kid. I think it was kind of right there whether or not I saw the animated series first or the Adam West movie. I didn't really get a chance to watch the 60s show much because they weren't doing reruns, I don't think, in my area anyway. But the show, man, it's just so freaking brilliant. Like, people get shot. Like, it is freaking serious stuff for kids, and it was amazing. Like,
it's an intense show, man.
Yeah, it's absolutely a cartoon for adults, like animated fare for adults, and it has some of the best Batman stories that have ever been told. That's with like however many years of comics they've been going, and how many, you know, hundreds of comic iterations and different titles and stuff, all of that, even with all of that it taken into consideration, Batman the Animated Series has some of the best Batman stories ever told in it, so it's really, really fantastic.
Nice. Better than the Joel Schumacher crap.
Oh, God.
I happen to be partial to Batman Forever, but yeah, I will say that I like Batman the Animated Series a little bit better. So.
All right. Good man. Good man. Okay, number three on my list is Seinfeld.
Nice. That was you guys didn't get a chance to hear this because we didn't actually listen to Trehearne's message as it was being played, but the listeners heard that Seinfeld was Trehearne's number one TV show. So good stuff.
Yeah, it's you know, it's still on every night. They still show. They still have our slot on UPN and at 10 o'clock, and I still watch it every night.
UPN still exists.
I don't think it does.
It
I
doesn't.
Think it's been
it's My Network 13.
For about 10
My
years.
Network 13. Well, former UPN. I don't know what stations are called. It's Channel 13, okay?
Vinkman's becoming senile at this point. I love it. There could be a Seinfeld episode about this podcast.
It really could. Absolutely.
All right. My number three is Band of Brothers.
Nice.
It's kind of my first memory of kind of a larger epic miniseries that kind of, I feel like, started this new wave of large miniseries that HBO did, and like lots of other channels started to do. And it's interesting, I mean, we have some shows now that which, like, you they test them in miniseries format, like Battlestar Galactica or The Walking Dead, where they kind of test in these miniseries formats, and then that's how a show gets picked up. But it's borderline a film. But I think to see these all the characters go through everything they go through, and you really do connect with them, and seeing what they go through World War II. I mean, it feels like a more complete experience compared to, you know, a Saving Private Ryan, and that's why it's my number three.
Yeah, it's a great series. I you know, I've only seen it once, so that's why I hesitated putting it on my list. But you know, it was damn close. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
much.
And it kind of feels fake, and just in the fact that there's no possible way that these same guys experienced all of these key events of the war, but it's real. It's absolutely real, and this is what these guys did, and it's really amazing. And it's also amazing on a technical level as far as what they were able to capture on film, as far as realism and just really getting in there. Like, I can't imagine filming something like that, because when you experience it as a viewer, it's just so visceral. I can't imagine somebody being off camera and being like, cut! It just doesn't work with that. Like, it's so intense of a show.
Yeah.
So
my number three is one that very well could have been my number one had it been given a fair run, I think. And my number three is Joss Whedon's Firefly. I was one of those that didn't watch the show when it came on. I will admit to that. And I, you know, I'd heard so many good things from it that I just bought it on DVD. And watched it on DVD, and it's real. Like, I'm so disappointed that it wasn't able to evolve through the course of like a four series run or four season run, because the first season is just so great. Like,
that's your fault for not tuning in.
It is.
When you were supposed to.
Mine and
nice
millions
job.
Of others. As a testament to how great it is, I can't think of really anything that they've done this with. But when they came back and made Serenity the movie, which kind of somewhat took off,
finalized.
Yeah, it finalized where Firefly kind of left off. And it's my favorite Joss Whedon series. And I've seen Angel, I've seen Buffy. And I even watched a little bit of Dollhouse, and this one, I think, takes the cake on all of those.
Right. And another good thing is, if you're a Firefly fan and do not purchase the DVDs, go to Hulu. They have the full series.
Okay.
Or if you did what I did, you watched Serenity first.
Yeah.
Watching Firefly is still extremely enjoyable.
Yeah, that's what I did as well. I watched Serenity first, and it's just, like, the characters are so great, and everything about it, like a space western, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah. All right, so here's my number three. I have a feeling that Mazer, Venkman, and I might be repeating each other a lot over the top three, but my number three is also Seinfeld. It's
nice.
It never gets old. I still laugh at episodes that I've seen easily 50 times. I will still crack up. And for a show about nothing, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's you know, I think I underestimated it. I never really watched it when it came out, but, you know, just watching reruns, it's pretty friggin' hilarious.
My number three is, I'm gonna be a cheater. Like Mazer was with his Batman from the 60s and Batman animated series, and say that it's Aaron Sorkin TV shows except Studio 60. So it's Sports Night and West Wing, because I couldn't really decide between the two. They're two of my favorite shows of all time. I just stole the Sports Night DVDs from my dad because he doesn't know how to work the DVD player anyway. And
Burn.
Except for the laugh track on Sports Night, because it was one of the first, like, one-camera, like, sitcoms. And so they put this stupid laugh track on it that's kind of annoying. But other than that, it totally holds up. I love watching it. It's funny. The characters have so much depth. The dialogue is the, like, crazy, fast-talking Sorkinese. And it's just a great show. Good stories, good characters. Funny. Same thing
good
with
times.
West Wing, really. West Wing's the same, except it's more likely to make you cry.
West Wing was a great show, and I really enjoyed Studio 60, but they just, they didn't give it a good run, I guess.
Well, I'm not going to get into the problems with Studio 60, but I could talk about it for like half an hour about why, like, it had a lot of potential that it didn't fulfill.
Anyway. We'll definitely get into it at Comic-Con this year. We'll,
okay, yeah.
We'll
in line sometime. We'll have a little chat.
Okay, I have actually a new show, and it's Boardwalk Empire.
Wow.
I really enjoyed that one as well. Great show.
I cannot get enough of it. Steve Buscemi is phenomenal in it. Michael Pitt, who I continually think is Leonardo DiCaprio on screen. I mean, he is amazing, and since seeing him in that, I've always liked him from Bully or, you know, other films that he's been in. But I'll tell you what, he is going to continue to be in some great things from this show. And I almost said movie because it's filmed like a movie.
Yeah,
it's beautifully shot, beautifully directed, everything.
Well,
it's one of the best shows on TV and best shows I've ever seen on TV. So.
Yeah, Pete Vader and I got a chance. I mean, we didn't get through the entire season. We're still kind of in the process of watching it, but I'd say we're probably like 7 episodes in or something like that. And I like it a lot too. It's a bit slow for me. I'm surprised that you put a show that just finished its first season that's still ongoing in your favorites list so early. But I understand why, based on the quality of the show that what we've seen so far, it's pretty phenomenal.
Well, it's either that or I was going to say Real World, because my wife likes me to watch it with her. So what do you want me to do? You know,
good choice. Good choice.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Okay, my number three is a show that I actually borrowed the DVDs from Mealy Kane over here, and that is Veronica Mars. Kristen Bell, this is hands down the best thing that she's ever done, and I feel like she wants to do more things like this, but just isn't given the opportunity, and I want to see her do more things like this. Rob Thomas created the show. It is absolutely, I mean, if you like, you know, we're talking about The Big Lebowski and the kind of noir stuff earlier in the movie section. If you like any sort of mystery, any sort of detective-based stuff, Veronica Mars, it's hard to find something better in a kind of a serialized format on TV, I think. Terriers, which is something that we've hyped up a lot, actually, on this podcast and the other, it kind of approach that, the kind of breezy levels of the private eye life and that whole deal. So I'm just a massive supporter of Veronica Mars.
Yeah, it's an incredibly smart show. I think that's one of the things that attracted me to it as well.
Awesome. All right, number two. And my number two and number one, I was like fighting back and forth between which one was going to take the top spot, but ended up giving my number two spot to The Wire.
Okay.
I loved that show.
I love that show.
Dude, it's such a smart film, such a smart show that just... it doesn't treat the audience like they're idiots, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The script, the dialogue, the acting, it all comes together to create this story, these characters, about how, you know, about Baltimore and all the drugs and everything that goes through there, and the cops that have to go in there and combat it and try and take down the guys that are charged. I mean, it's just such a great show, and you watch, and it stands up to if you watched it now, it would stand up to today's standards, but yeah. At the same time, it be more like you're watching a period piece,
yeah,
because of the technology and all that stuff that has changed so much since the show was on the air. But what an incredible show, and I still go through and watch episodes every once in a while, and, you know, just to remind myself of how great a show this was. So I know there's a lot of people out there that still have not seen The Wire, and I highly suggest you go out and you start watching this show, because it's amazing. One of the best shows you'll ever see.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but phenomenal things, and I unfortunately am one of those people who hasn't seen it, and it's been on my list for a long time, but it's got so many seasons that I've just been trying to find the time to devote to watching it all, because I know I'm just going to want to consume it as quickly as possible
You will. Once you start, you'll just be like in front of your TV until it's over. You go through like a season a day.
Nice. All right, my number two is Lost. Nice. It is a great television series, which surprisingly just owns nonlinear storytelling. I think it's the only television series that you could ever put on shuffle and watch, and it still kind of makes sense. it's that good, and the material is, I think, that strong. If you're not already on the bandwagon, you're probably tired of me talking about it. Lost, number two.
Okay, well, moving on to me then. My number two, and I know I'm going to catch some flack for this one, but I just got to put it, it's Smallville. Now, I will be a testament to this show not being as good as it used to be. I would say after season... Well, I'll be generous and say after season six... It is kind of gone downhill.
Really?
Well, was that serious?
Well, I thought it started going... I thought season three was the absolute worst season. But after season three, I thought it started to pick up momentum. I would say and I've been seeing it continually get better since season three.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've kind of rewatched seasons one through six, so maybe that could be where I'm... why I'm leaning that way, but definitely the first couple seasons, it was just about, like, you know, sheer potential, like, wow, this guy's gonna be Superman, and it was just awesome to watch, like, okay, these are the decisions that he's making that's shaping, like, the hero that he's gonna be, and, you know, I'm a big Kristen Kruk fan as well. And so that probably helped. But, you know, just kind of like the choices and the things that would happen to him, like how he got his powers and how he, like, established relationships with certain people. And it was just great to see how the Kents sort of raised them. You were watching like Superman being raised, and you know, I just really enjoyed that aspect about Smallville that they've kind of gotten away from.
Yeah, the family aspect is something that really I think they absolutely just nailed in the show. Is like, especially with John Schneider and Annette O'Toole as the parents, it's like perfect casting. They were fantastic, and you know, with the spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen Smallville in whatever 5 years or something, but when John Schneider's character is gone, that's where the show started to drop off for me a little bit, because they lost that kind of family tie and couldn't ever really fill that void with anything else.
Yeah.
Well, I think seasons 8, 9, and this most recent one are extremely strong for the Lois and Clark story.
Yeah.
It's no longer him growing up. It's like pretty much everything teases at him pretty much being Superman. It's like he's a step away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's some of the frustration with the television series is they couldn't find a way to make it make sense that he wasn't yet Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're putting up barriers.
Yeah. So that this particularly last season has been very enjoyable just because they're putting into place characters and things that you've wanted to see out of the Superman mythos, and you're Lois knows, which is a big thing. And,
yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of things to enjoy about this final season of Smallville.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Awesome. All right, so I had a big problem with the whole TV series list.
Okay.
Because I wasn't 100%, you know, do miniseries count or whatnot. So I have a 2.5, which is Band of Brothers. We already said it's great. Love it. But my two actual number two will be The Shield.
Okay. One of my
favorite shows. I love The Shield, and it's one of the few television shows that had a great ending. Like the ending to me kind of lived up to
it. Did
you know it lived up to it? And Michael Chiklis' character is the epitome of anti-hero. You love to hate him. But you find yourself rooting for the guy, even though you know he's doing something super shady. You want him to succeed in what he's doing, but because he's doing something shady, he often, more often than not, loses something really important to him.
Yeah.
But and to me, it was one of those shows that, you know, before DVR, I had to make it home and watch. You know, because it was that good.
Yeah.
I think The Shield, The Wire, Deadwood, and Breaking Bad are four shows that I've never seen, but from all the good things that I've heard about all of those, that could very well be like my top four as soon as I'm done watching them, you know. So
I will tell you, don't rush into Deadwood because they don't finish the freaking series.
Okay.
Right. So Bad and Carnival didn't make my list because of that.
Yeah, don't
watch
that. Yeah,
see, Carnival was such a great show, but they killed it before they could finish the story. I hate that crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So disappointing.
That's the only reason those two got kicked off my list is because they just ended.
Yeah.
There's no closure to them.
All right.
Oh, that's my turn.
Who's next?
My number two is Freaks and Geeks.
Good choice.
Yeah, it is.
No arguments here.
That's really all. It's a great show. You should watch it.
Again, it's one of those shows that just got cut short. You know, cut short,
and I'm proud to say it because like. I'm not very cool, and so whenever I was, like, there first, I'm really excited about it, so I just have to brag that I watched Freaks and Geeks, like, from the first episode. I followed all the time slot changes. I even watched on a Saturday night when they burned off the last three episodes after they'd canceled it. Like, I was at home, like, being a nerd watching it. And, yeah, it's just a great show. It holds up really well. They play it on
IFC
right now, IFC. And there's just so many great episodes. You should just watch it. It's just fantastic. I can't say.
Yeah,
there's no words.
That's another one that I heard really great things about, and actually watched all of it earlier this year, and was a big fan. And from you know, like I said, I didn't see any episodes of The Wonder Years, but from what I understand from you guys and other people, the way that that dealt with growing up and stuff is kind of mirrored a little bit with Freaks and Geeks, and especially the part that I love about Freaks and Geeks is that there's two clear age groups going on at the same time.
Right.
Like these both of these stories, which even if you're older watching it, you can still relate to the younger characters' stories and stuff, even through memories or whatever. Like the, you know, that's the great part about this show is there's so many different characters and there are a bunch of different age ranges, but you can relate to all of it.
And one of my favorite episodes is when worlds kind of collide and James Franco, who's like the cool freak character, gets like as punishment sent to be in the AV club with the geeks. And it's amazing when he goes to play Dungeons and Dragons with them. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Such I just recently show. Got into it myself, just like Ben. And and it's kind of funny when you see some of your favorite characters of television and movies today on that show.
Right.
Younger people. It just adds to the whole "this is awesome" element.
Well, that is actually, you guys have been naming some shows that I have never watched. I believe me, I've heard of them. I just have never sat down and watched them, and it just amazes me. And you probably would want to kill me if you knew everything that I had not seen.
I don't think we'd kill anybody, really.
We'd probably just get a lot of DVDs and, like, tie you to the couch.
Or we would hire somebody to kill you.
Actually, that'd be fine. I tied myself to the couch with this next one. I watched the first season of Lost after it had already aired, and that's my number two as well. I actually could put this at number one, but it's one of my favorite shows of all time, and it's currently at my number two spot. What I did is I watched the entire first season, sitting down one weekend in an entire weekend, and did nothing else but watch that, ordered takeout, and
nice.
That was it. And the characters, the cast is perfect, beautifully shot. It's great. I have nothing more to say on that.
Nice. Sounds good.
My number two is also a mini series, and it's one called Lonesome Dove. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Nice job.
But it's from 1989. It's a mini series, and it stars Tommy Lee Jones and Robert Duvall as, like, some of the best friend, like, characters that I've ever seen committed to film or TV. Like, their relationship is fantastic. There's so many, like, really big-name people in this. Danny Glover, Diane Lane, Angelica Houston, Chris Cooper, like, the list goes on. Really, really awesome stuff, and it's this kind of epic story of, like, a cattle drive throughout the West, you know, from Texas to Montana, and it's just, it's phenomenal. So if you've never seen Lonesome Dove, make that your New Year's resolution, because it definitely deserves everybody's attention.
It is worth it. I totally forgot about that.
That's a great show. I agree. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. All right, everybody, here is our number one favorite TV show of all time. Mine, The Twilight Zone.
Nice.
You know,
it's classic, man. There's nothing else you can say about it.
Seriously, I mean, it is served as inspiration for everything that we see in sci-fi, horror, all that stuff. You know, the twists, the turns.
That we see.
Some of them are actually scary.
Huh?
You know, some of the episodes are actually scary when you know, for that time was, you know, bending the bar right a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's just such a great series that, like, you know, is very prolific, and there's things that you see that were done that's happening now, you know?
Yeah, it's the only TV series I've ever studied in an English class.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fantastic, and the quality is so high, and the writing's so good that we read a lot of the scripts in my 7th grade English class.
Yeah, it's just an amazing show, and, you know, I think they stopped doing the marathon. I haven't seen a marathon this year. Usually,
I didn't see it this year either.
Yeah, once, you know, whenever the marathon, they usually have a Twilight Zone marathon, I'm always like, that's what I'm doing all day for, you know, as long as it's running, as I'm watching Twilight Zone. But, I love that show. just it's inspiring, you know. And that's it's like Star Wars. I mean, that show inspired filmmakers to like go out and try different things and, you know, be a little daring, and obviously sparked ideas in, you know, all of the major filmmakers out there right now, because they all take bits and pieces of it and throw it into what they're working on. So
I feel like it challenged audiences a little bit too, you know, it forced you to kind of redefine what you thought a normal story was, and kind of and be able to wrap your mind around something, you know, told, like Mazur was saying, with, you know, non-linear stuff. There's a lot of that going on. There was a lot of these twists that you mentioned, you know. It really, something that comes up in the last 10 seconds of a Twilight Zone episode can make you completely rethink what you just watched.
Yeah,
exactly. So,
pretty great stuff.
And they have like the whole you know, where Rod Serling would, you know, made these films where he would, or made these shows that would mirror society and what society was going through at that time, but he'd add that sci-fi horror element to it, you know, and turn it into just turn it on its head.
Yeah, it was a great way for you know, society who was suppressing their own conflicts to be able to talk about them in a format that,
like, a subversive way.
Yeah.
There was one thing, one particular episode that I really love that stands out to me is the one, I forget what it's called, something about Owl Creek Bridge, maybe, but the premise of it is the guy, there's a Confederate soldier, I think, that is about to be hung, and the entire episode, like, goes throughout where he breaks away and escapes and, like, gets back to his family, and there's this whole thing, and then, like, the episode ends with him actually falling and getting his neck, like, broken with the, like, with the noose still around it, you know? It's like the entire thing was just his kind of imagination running wild in the last, like, split second of his life. And that really, like, made an impact on me when I was a kid. I was like, wow, like, that's something that can happen in a story, you know? Like, I'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah. Amazing. This is amazing stuff there. I know everyone's seen at least one episode in their life, but...
Yeah.
You know, there's still times where I'll, you know, when I'll watch through a marathon and an episode will pop up that I had never seen before, which is always cool. So
I think it was The Occurrence at Owl Street Bridge, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Something along those lines. Sorry.
They need to have that on instant Netflix. I'll tell you, that'd be great.
So many people's lives would just disappear.
Facebook campaign.
Okay.
Well, I know when Venkman would get his DVDs, he and I would just sit there and watch every single episode on the DVD, and not leave his living room. That was it.
Yeah. Awesome. Yep.
All right. So my number one is Stargate SG-1. The whole, you know, they did 10 seasons, 22 episodes per season, and it's kind of the most ridiculous thing. Like, when I think of Lost and I think of, like, other television series, this has, like, is all about payoff. Like, you set up a small minor character in, like, season one, you see him in season four. You set up, like, minor device, like, all these, it's just a huge cobweb of all of these interconnected little details that, for geeks, we get to geek out on, like, ooh, yeah, that's that piece of technology from this, and then that this character, and all, like, it all... Like, if you love those types of things, like, if you love Star Trek, you'll probably just love Stargate. So, and, you know, two different series so far, spinned off, and my favorite.
That sounds kind of like part of the reasoning, I'm guessing, for P. Vader's pick of Smallville, is 10 seasons of 20-something episodes. You spend so much time with these characters and stuff, like, you kind of have to love them at a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when Mazur told me that. That was his number one episode when we had that little talk before, but yeah.
You know, it's actually...
I haven't seen all of the episodes, like, in unison. I always caught them, like, one here, one there, whatever, so... I don't know. I think I'm going to give it a try from first to last.
I'm rewatching all of the episodes on Netflix instant, and it's really good. And it's amazing how, like, kind of optimistic it is, compared to like Stargate Universe, which is on TV right now. But yeah, it's great. It's just fun. It's like it's fully adventure. So
nice. Yeah, I'll have to check that out because I've not seen a single episode. So
yeah, neither have I.
But all right. Well, my number one is you guys kind of got on the Fred Savage bandwagon. Not bandwagon, but you know,
the train
station wagon. You were applauding the Fred Savage Wonder Years show, and I'm gonna go with his little brother, Ben Savage, in
oh god,
in Boy Meets World, because
wow.
I did not see that coming. Well,
it's gonna hit you square in the stomach because it just it's coming yeah, through. Dude. Boy Meets World. There's no other show that I can quote and just have like such a knowledge of. I've gone through the series run multiple times, like at least 5 times at this point. It's such a quotable show for me. I love Mr. Feeney. He knocked you on your keister, man. That's a random quote for all you Boy Meets World lovers
obviously,
out there.
Yes.
You know, for me, the core of the show is about like it's about friendship and kind of, you know, relationships, like what will you do for your friends and your family. And it's about, you know, you got to make sacrifices for your friends and family, but it's for like their benefit. And you know, I struggle to kind of find shows like this that have like sitcoms that have sort of a lesson throughout that they're trying to teach kind of with each episode, for the most part, each episode. You know, the theme song on at the end of I think it's the 7th season or the 6th season, Ben P can play it for us coming up when I'm done. It's just kind of a perfect reflection of the show. It's like contemplative, slow acoustic guitar. Contemplative makes you kind of like think of the lessons you learn in the show.
Are we really having like a close reading of the
of
theme
Boy Meets
song
World?
From the later years of Boy yes. Meets World?
That's,
wow.
That's literally how much I've watched the show, because I probably know too much about this show.
We'll probably?
I do.
No, that's not a question. That's
okay, definite. I know too much about this show. I can probably quote it as I'm watching it. And, you know, it's just like a good feeling show. We'll leave it at that. Ben, play the soundtrack. Take it away.
Well, hang on. First of all, I want to mirror some of your love. I know that you're getting some laughs around this panel here. I'm a massive fan of Boy Meets World also. Definitely agree with your reading about the friendship and stuff. And, like, Cory and Topanga and their kind of relationship throughout the series is phenomenal. And the parents, again, like, with the Smallville thing, with how great that family dynamic is, Alan and Amy Matthews are, like, some of the best parental figures that I've ever seen in anything, you know? So I'm not going to give you any flack for picking Boy Meets World for your number one. And also, speaking of this kind of acoustic guitar thing, we actually did track down and were able to record this from an episode and kind of splice it together from multiple episodes. So this, I believe, is the internet debut of the final theme song for the later season of Boy Meets World. So I'm going to play this little clip for you guys right now, just so you know what we're talking about, and we'll move on from there. Here we go.
There you have it, sir.
Wow. Right.
That's what it's all about.
Magic.
I don't even know what to say.
Try to top that, RP McMurphy.
You guys laugh, but somebody who's listening to this is going to be almost as big of a Boy Meets World fan as P. Vader.
I
and
liked
he's,
the
he's
show.
Take,
I just...
This person is going to
know
take...
There's a religion for some.
This person's going to take that clip that we just debuted and put that in their iPod. I guarantee it. Somebody's going to do it. So.
You're welcome.
Wow, I don't even know how to top that right now.
You can't. That's the thing.
It really stinks to go, you know, after Boy Meets World, but mine's kind of a rerun just because it's, you know, my favorite. It's The Twilight Zone is, to me, the all-time perfect television show.
Agreed, obviously.
Yeah. Well, like, it ranges, like, in it didn't just range in horror and sci-fi, but it also ranged in emotion. The episode where the guy had to outwit the devil to save a little girl's life, you know, hits you on, you know, all sorts of levels. And, you know, and also talk about things that are controversial now, but Rod Serling was able to hit on them back then, like the episode where everyone's getting plastic surgery to look the same, and if you didn't look the same, you were ugly.
The pig people episode?
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite.
Yep. Yeah, it's one of those few TV shows that holds its weight in water today. Like, it's timeless. There's nothing you can say that's wrong with it, because if you've never seen an episode, you'll love it from the first time you watch it.
I think the brilliance of it is that it didn't follow, like, a normal narrative structure. It didn't have the problems that some of these other shows that we've talked about might experience, where they run out of stories to tell within, like, surrounding the same characters, because, like, every episode was different. You know, it was a different story every time. Everything was self-contained. They could bring different actors in. I mean, William Shatner was in a lot of these early episodes of the show. So it kind of attracted a lot of great talent and stuff in the show, and it just, you know, it was able to kind of spread itself out without wearing itself out.
And I think the theme song also hit on
it. Yeah, we're gonna pause and we've spliced it together from several different episodes, and we're just gonna take a pause now and listen to it.
You know, yeah, it's not really the music as much as it is the introduction to the show.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
When Venkman slipped up earlier in saying he loved the movies instead of saying episodes, I think it's totally true, because each one of these episodes, I mean, there's so many, quote, movies now that have totally stolen a Twilight Zone episode, M. Night, and made them into a film. So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just kind of funny, because in high school, we had Venkman and I had a cinematography teacher that based a whole semester on Twilight Zone and based a whole semester on Alfred Hitchcock, and would go in depth about, you know, how it applied then and how it applies now type of thing, and how these two major television show and movie just affects how we are, and if you can watch it at any time and you'll get something new out of it.
Yep.
Okay, my number one, I don't think would be a surprise to anyone who knows me. It's Veronica Mars. Ben, it was on Ben's list, and he borrowed my DVDs to watch it, and basically everyone I've ever met, I've forced to borrow the DVDs, or just like, here, you're gonna sit down and watch this with me. I love this show so much. My Geek Tyrant fake name is actually taken from it. It's Neely Kane, Lily Kane. Anyway, it's just an amazing show. It's really smart. I mean, I can get into like a 15-minute explanation of why the costumes are so fantastic.
I mean, I went into the theme song.
Yeah, but you
Boy
give
Meets
him
World.
Crap about that? Come on now.
Yeah, but I mean, Veronica Mars versus Boy Meets World. I'm not saying Boy Meets World is bad.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know. It was just great. It's really nice to have a movie or a TV show that's smart and that's interesting. They really managed well to have like overarching mystery and then like the case she was solving every week and a lot of character development, and there was just so much going on. It was kind of like the bare bones of a procedural, but there was so much more to it.
Mm-hmm. And like the atmosphere of the city and stuff too, like all
exactly.
the different members of society that they come
all
across.
The different, and it's a really interesting exploration of like the
class structure?
The class structure and how that affects you in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And the, you know,
the O-Niners and all.
The O-Niners versus, like, all the people that work for them, basically. And it just had so many great characters, and I'm babbling at this point, but I just love that show so much.
If I find Kristen Bell annoying, I'm sorry, I do. If I find her annoying, should I not watch this show?
No, you have should you, watch no. Veronica Mars.
If you find her annoying in movies, then you should watch the show.
You should have watched
that's
it
what
first.
I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at.
She hasn't really done such quality movies. She's actually, there's always, like, fans are always hoping for a movie, a Veronica Mars movie, because...
That's what I keep hearing, yeah.
Yeah.
And Kristen Bell is actually really active in trying to get that going. She said that she would actually finance it herself, but Warner
that.
Brothers won't give up the rights, and but they won't make the movie either, because they're a-holes. Yeah, it's a really, really fantastic... She's smart, she's sassy, she's just great.
Cool.
No, yeah, I know what you're talking about, because she is borderline horrible in every movie she's been in, with the exception of Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and definitely watch Veronica Mars, because you'll instantly love her. It's she's such a great character, and...
Wait, she's recently in Burlesque. Is she good in Burlesque?
She's, well...
How can anyone say Burlesque is even good?
It got nominated for a Golden Globe, but let's not get into that crap.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, please not.
But she is delightfully bitchy in Burlesque. So that's fun.
She was great in Fanboys.
Yes.
Yeah, I like Fanboys.
Yeah. Okay, I forgot about that movie.
Okay, yes. I'm up. The Office.
Nice.
Number one.
Which version?
UK or US?
Germany. Like UK, but US.
Okay.
Best.
Okay.
By far. I'll tell you what, I love Ricky Gervais. And I'm really happy with everything he's done, everything. But I'll tell you what, I like you know, Michael Scott, and I love the show. I just can't tell you how much I'm gonna actually be sad to see him leave. I mean, I think the show is gonna be great, still going on. It's that good of a show that I can continue watching it after he leaves. Steve Carell, but I have a feeling that, you know, it definitely is going to be a sad day for me.
I totally
agree.
I'm not looking forward to him leaving either.
I don't know that I'll watch after Steve Carell leaves.
I am of the opinion that I think it could rejuvenate the show a bit.
I think you're right.
Yeah, depending on
but
who
the
bring
in. Yeah, I just think if he doesn't go off into the sunset with Holly... then I'll never be happy.
Yeah.
I can see him going to a different branch or being a Road Warrior representative for Saber and making certain appearances every once in a while, you know, perhaps. And you know, and that's how he transitions out.
They'll probably just kill him off.
That would be fantastic.
That would be so
ballsy.
That would
be like the UK Office
version.
Right?
That would be interesting. But,
well, they could have this lawnmower.
Dwight accidentally blows him up or something. I don't know.
That would be plausible.
It's such a great show. I mean, it's going to be one. I think while Seinfeld is one of those kind of shows that you can always enjoy and get a laugh out of. The Office, both versions are great, but you know, the Office U.S. version is something that anybody can really find humor in, hopefully. And I love the fact that it doesn't have a laugh track. Anything that has a laugh track annoys the hell out of me. Yeah, anything. It does. I mean, it just... I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's similar to Seinfeld in that you can just watch any episode out of context, and it's still funny. A lot of the episodes, at least in the earlier seasons, were still funny, kind of in their own right. So I definitely think it has that in common. That kind of episodic structure works really well for it, I think. But I guess getting into my number one is something that spits in the face of episodic structure, and that is Lost. It's the most serialized show I've ever seen. You literally have to watch every single episode to know what the hell is going on. And I love it for that. I love it for being so just ballsy that it forces people to pay I've paid more attention to Lost than I've paid to any other show that I've ever seen. Like, you're just constantly scanning the screen, looking for clues as to what's going on, where you are, when you are, what's happening, what's going to be important later. Mazur mentioned the thing about payoff, and they actually made a big joke about that in one of the Community Christmas episode, which I still thought was kind of funny, even though I love Lost. You know, we actually talked about the big Lost finale and stuff, so go back and listen to that episode of this podcast. And, I mean, I just love the show. Like, despite its ending, which I actually happen to think was really great and kind of perfect, I wish it... There's a couple small changes that I would have made, but in a show that was on a network TV channel that ran for 6 years like that, that was so heavily into mystery and pushing boundaries and... you know, like kind of borderline redefining storytelling. I mean, kind of cribbing a little bit from Tarantino and some of the nonlinear stuff that we talked about. And the music by Michael Giacchino. I mean, like every single aspect of the show, the acting, everything. It's like it all culminates into my favorite thing that's ever been on TV. So I love it.
And there you have it.
Yep.
Nice.
We made it.
We went through everything. Crazy.
Oof. 100th episode.
Boom.
Happy 100.
Yeah, right, guys?
Century mark.
Triple digits now.
Man, we should probably think about what we're going to do for episode 200.
I think we already figured it out.
We're acting out our favorite scenes and movies.
We're going to, yeah, just that's scenes. Right. Favorite television scenes and favorite movie scenes.
Top five.
Either that or we're just going to make start a list of Facebook petitions that we should make.
Callbacks. Nice. Yeah, a lot of unexpected choices there, but all of them I think are good. Y'all.
I was just going to say, and based on a lot of the recommendations, things I've never seen, I'm going to go and check out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we do stuff like this, because there are stuff that people haven't seen yet. And
helping out our fellow geeks.
Exactly, you know, pointing them in the right direction. That's what we're all about. But anyway, thank you again for joining us. This, again, was our 100th podcast, and that was our top five favorite movies and TV shows from the boys and girl over at Geek Tyrant.
Yeah, thanks everybody for joining. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.